This is Kathy bringing you news from the Bloomington area, reading from the Pantograph for today, which is the 28th of February. Starting with the front page, back in business, apartments out, commercial tenants in at former State Farm building, by Maria Nagel. Hours after announcing an optical company was moving its corporate office into the former State Farm headquarters building in downtown Bloomington, the property owner said it no longer plans to develop apartments in the building. It had renamed the Bloomington Lofts, but it is considering another project in the Twin Cities. Rockford-based Urban Equity Properties purchased 112 East Washington Street in October, with plans to invest $40 million to convert it into a 230 luxury loft apartments and a ground floor restaurant. "We are not looking at apartments for this building," UEP spokesman Jim Haggerty said Thursday, hours after Kepler Vision announced it had signed a multi-year lease. "I can't disclose exactly what's going on there, but we are definitely not going to stop with this. With just this project at downtown Bloomington, because there is need for housing, luxury apartments in that area. We are definitely going to stay in that market, and we are looking for other opportunities there." UEP founding principal Justin Fern called the change a game changer for downtown Bloomington, and downtown leaders welcomed the news. "Obviously, we're excited about this. It's really great news," Mayor Terry Renner said. "It also shows that the State Farm building will probably be more mixed use than residential, but we'll see how this unfolds. It means new jobs and economic opportunities downtown. Bringing more people downtown can only help us in many ways." Kepler, parent company for All About Eyes and dozens of other optical businesses, will move more than 100 employees to the building from its three current facilities, including its main office at 1602 Tullamore Avenue in Bloomington. The top four floors will house Kepler's executive team, business support services, and supply chain management departments, and the atrium will be used to host various events and functions. The company, which anticipates hiring 75 more people by the end of 2020, has the option to expand into an additional floor. "There are other businesses interested in becoming tenants of the building, but I can't talk about them," Renner said. Haggerty said the building will be a draw for professional tenants, corporate tenants, law firms, accounting firms, and similar tenants. "There is not a need for a major overhaul at all," he said. "There's very little to be done. So it probably won't be a $40 million project because we're not redeveloping the property." He said the building needs only very minimal renovation, including security upgrades and some light maintenance. "It's beautiful," said Kepler CEO Nick Williams. "There won't be any major changes whatsoever. This building is move-in ready." UEP's decision and Kepler's interest speak volumes about why preservation of historic buildings is crucial for areas such as Bloomington and Normal, said Greg Coos, executive director of McLean County Museum of History, 200 North Main Street. He said the change from apartments to businesses is in line with the building's history. City Administrator Tim Gleason said Kepler and UEP have not approached the city about incentives. The building drew little interest when State Farm put it up for sale in 2018, leading the insurer to consider plans for demolition. But that idea met with strong resistance from former employees and downtown supporters. UEP approached State Farm with the apartment idea, and the sale was completed in October 2019. The parties never disclosed a sales price, but the deed indicated the property was sold for less than $100 because the sale was exempt from the state transfer tax. Vicki Tilton, president of Friends of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts and owner of Fox and Hounds Hair Studio and Day Salon on West Monroe Street, supported preservation of the former building and said she was glad to see a tenant move in. "We're excited about the building. We're excited about the tenants coming," said Tilton. "Having revitalized buildings ourselves, my husband and I, we both feel that diversifying your tenant base is a very smart thing to do. We feel confident that this is a good move." Listed as contributing property to the National Register of Historic Places, construction on the 13-story Art Deco building began in 1929 and continued through 1945. It served as corporate headquarters until 1974. State Farm stopped using the building in January of 2018. The company removed business items of historical significance from the building for future display at its corporate headquarters, now located in East Bloomington. And the companion article, Kepler Vision, Leasing Space for Corporate Headquarters, by Maria Nagel. Kepler Vision, parent company of All About Eyes and a number of other optical providers, has signed a multi-year lease for the company's new corporate headquarters at 112 East Washington Street, the original headquarters building of State Farm in downtown Bloomington. The building was bought in 2019 by Urban Equity Properties of Rockford, which initially planned to convert the building into high-end apartments. According to a statement issued by Kepler, more than 100 Kepler team members will relocate to the building, consolidating its entire corporate workforce from its three current facilities. The top four floors will house Kepler's executive team, business support services, and supply chain management departments, and the atrium will be used to host various events and functions. The company has the option to expand into an additional floor, as Kepler has projected it will hire at least 75 additional team members by the end of 2020. UEP completed its purchase of the building in October, plans to invest $40 million to convert it into 230 luxury loft apartments and a ground floor restaurant. On Thursday, it said those plans had changed and the building will house professional offices. Nick Williams, Kepler's CEO and co-founder, said he was thrilled to announce the move because I know how much it means to the people of Bloomington to see the State Farm building come back to life. Listed as a contributing property to the National Register of Historic Places, construction began on the 13-story Art Deco building in 1929 and continued through 1945. Kepler Vision began in Bloomington in 2005 with a single All About Eyes practice located on Veterans Parkway in Washington Street. The brand quickly grew to over 20 practices throughout Illinois and Iowa, and in 2017, with the backing of Imperial Capital Group of Toronto, Canada, began partnering with independent optometry practices across the United States. Kepler Vision has already partnered with more than 140 optometric practices. The company also employs over 80 teammates at Identity Optical, an independent lens lab and eyeglass manufacturing facility located in Normal. And this little inset, all about Kepler Vision. 2005, the first All About Eyes store opened at 101 North Veterans Parkway in Bloomington. It grew to have more than 20 locations in Illinois and Iowa. By 2016, lens manufacturer Identity Optical Lab, part of All About Eyes, expanded its facility at 2221 West College Avenue in Normal. The lens lab and eyeglass manufacturing facility employs more than 800 people. In 2017, with the backing of Canada's Imperial Capital Group, All About Eyes began partnering with independent optometry practices across the United States. In 2019, Kepler Vision was formed when two portfolio companies of Imperial Capital, Total ECP, and Visionary Eye Partners merged, operating as a combined entity. In 2020, Kepler Vision announced a partnership with California-based Visions Optometry and Eye Designs Optometry. The umbrella organization has more than 130 practices across more than 25 states. About the company, Kepler Vision describes itself as a business support company that invests and partners with medically focused optometry practices and provides best-in-class lens technology and patient experience. Its primary office is currently located at 1602 Tullamore Avenue in Bloomington. About the name is inspired by scientist Johannes Kepler, a pioneer in optics and the science of the human eye. And in the local section, Mark First Kids Therapy to move to Broman site. X-Spice program to have a larger space and serve more patients by Paul Zweig. Therapy for McLean County children with developmental disabilities and delays would grow under a plan by Mark First to expand and relocate its pediatric therapy program. Mark First Pediatric Therapy, formerly called SPICE, which stood for Services for Parent, Infant, and Child Education, will move this summer from 1,000 square feet on the lower level of the Mark First building, 1606 Hunt Drive in Normal, to 4,700 square feet on the lower level of the Advocate Broman Medical Office Center, 1 at 1302 Franklin Avenue in Normal, Mark First announced Thursday evening. That building along Virginia Avenue connects via a skywalk to the Advocate Broman parking deck. In addition, Christy Kasharik, whose title had been SPICE Director, has been named Vice President of Pediatric Therapy. This will revolutionize pediatric therapy in Bloomington Normal, said Sarah Trefziger, whose son Hunter receives physical and occupational therapy at Mark First Pediatric Therapy. The larger space will allow Mark First Pediatric Therapy to serve more children with expanded services and new equipment, said Mark First CEO Brian Whipperman. We're excited about this on every front, Whipperman said. There is a need in this community. Our therapists do a great job, but they will be able to provide more services to even more children in the community. The program provides early intervention services for children up to age 3 who aren't meeting developmental milestones, and occupational, physical, speech, feeding, and social-emotional therapy for children up to age 14. When the new pediatric center opens, behavioral therapy services will be added, Whipperman said. The program served 400 children in 2017 and 500 during 2019, but that number is expected to reach 700 by this summer, Whipperman said. Parents, as well as pediatricians, are identifying developmental delays in children earlier, he said. Mark First Pediatric Therapy has more than 20 therapists, Whipperman said. The demand of the community for the services will dictate how many therapists we add, he said. I am overjoyed that we will be able to provide a facility to people in McLean County who need it, said physical therapist Jillian McGriff. Patients include children with cerebral palsy, developmental delays, and children needing therapy following surgery. Currently, in our motor therapy room, we can serve one child at a time, McGriff said. In our new motor space, we will be able to serve up to 12. In addition to a motor gym with new equipment, the new space will include a sensory gym for 8 to 12 children, individual and group therapy rooms, and a casting space, McGriff said. Serving several children at the same time will have social benefits for children and their parents, Treffsiger said. The new space will be leased from Advocate. A final development cost figure has yet to be determined, Whipperman said. The space formerly housed Broman's Outpatient Therapy Services, which moved last summer to the Advocate Broman Outpatient Center, said Lynn Hutley, Advocate Regional Public Affairs Director. I'm excited to welcome Mark First to our campus, said Advocate Broman President Colleen Canaday. The number of families they serve through their pediatric therapy services is inspiring, and we are pleased to support their efforts to improve the health and wellness of our community. Other Mark First services and offices will remain on Hunt Drive, Whipperman said. They include the high school transition, supported employment, and residential and day programs. The agency overall serves 800 children and adults with developmental disabilities and has about 130 full and part-time employees. 9-year-old's mental fitness being tested by Kevin Barlow. From Eureka. The pre-trial mental fitness test for a 9-year-old Goodfield boy charged with murder and arson in Woodford County should be completed early next month, lawyers told a judge on Thursday. In December, Woodford County Judge Charles Feeney approved the funds to retain a Chicago area doctor who will determine the boy's fitness. The results should be available next week, said defense attorney Peter Dlewski. The boy is charged with 5 felony counts of murder and 3 counts of arson, stemming from a fire he is accused of setting in a mobile home near Goodfield last April. Catherine Murray, 69, Jason Wall, 34, Rose Allwood, 2, Damian Wall, 2, and Ariel Wall, 1, were killed in the April 6 fire in the Timberline Trailer Court. The boy and his mother, Katie Allwood, were able to escape the fire. She has since given up her parental rights, and the boy is staying with foster guardians who are related to his father, court documents indicate. The boy did not appear during the 5-minute hearing Thursday in Eureka. His father and foster guardians were in the courtroom. Last fall, Woodford County State's Attorney Greg Minger filed charges against the youth, believed to be one of the youngest ever to be charged in Illinois with felony murder charges. Previously, Minger said, investigators felt the boy was aware of the dangers of setting a fire inside the mobile home. Attorneys did not elaborate during or following the hearing. There really is nothing new to add, Minger said. We're just moving forward. A trial date has not yet been set. ISAC Appeals for College Student Aid by Jerry Nowicki. The state commission that oversees higher education grants for low-income students detailed the diminishing buying power of state financial aid Thursday during a budget request hearing. Eric Zarnikow, executive director of the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, spent much of his testimony before a Senate Appropriations Committee breaking down the state's monetary award program grants, which apply to tuition and fees. The grants are available to eligible Illinois residents who demonstrate financial need and attend approved Illinois colleges, and they do not need to be repaid. MAP really does meet today's low-income college Illinois students where they are, and it gets aid to the people that need it the most, Zarnikow said, later noting that MAP recipients graduated about the same rate as other students enrolled at the same university. This year, 54% of MAP recipients have no parent who graduated college and are judged by the federal government as having no money to contribute to the cost of higher education. According to ISAC, 59% of black undergraduates, 45% of Hispanic graduate undergraduates, 55% of multiracial undergraduates, and 21% of white undergraduates receive MAP funding. That program received a $50 million increase for the current fiscal year, which ends June 30th, bringing its total state allotment up to $451 million. In his budget proposal for the next fiscal year, Governor J.B. Pritzker proposed an additional $50 million to the program. The second straight increase is part of an effort by Pritzker to increase MAP funding by 50% over a four-year span. Zarnikow called the proposed funding spike a critical investment in the program, which is often the only avenue for low-income students to attend college, but added it is still not fully funded. In 2001, Zarnikow said, ISAC had enough MAP funding to serve everybody who was eligible for the program. At that time, grants would have covered 100% of a student's tuition and fees at public universities or community colleges. In 2020, that number is at just 34% at universities and 36% at community colleges. We think it's pretty amazing that low-income students are able to go to college and make it through college, he said after outlining the diminished funding. The $50 million funding increase has helped, he said, as it is estimated that by the time fiscal year 2020 ends on June 30th, the state will have served about 10,000 more students than it did the previous year. The average MAP grant allotment per student will have increased by about $260 as well. Still, this will have left about 50,000 MAP-eligible students cut off from funding, Zarnikow said, although only about half that number would have been expected to accept the funding. Unit 5 OKs borrowing up to $37 million. Board extends busing contract with First Student by Lenore Sabota. The Unit 5 School Board on Wednesday approved borrowing up to $29 million to increase the district working cash fund and issuing up to $8 million in tax anticipation warrants. The board also extended its transportation agreement with First Student and awarded a contract for a heating, ventilation, air conditioning renovation, and geothermal project at Kingsley Junior High School in Normal. The district plans to issue $29 million in taxable general obligation school bonds with interest rates not to exceed 5% per year. The bond sale will take place no later than August 15th. The $8 million in tax anticipation warrants are being issued based on revenue from taxes levied for 2019 and collected in 2020. The warrant sale is to proceed no later than June 15th and will be conducted by PMA Securities of Naperville. Board Chairman Barry Hitchens said that the tax anticipation warrants, which essentially borrow against future revenues, are what we have done to cover our cash flow issue because of the way the state funds education. Marty Hickman, Unit 5 business manager, said, "A major part of our fiscal year revenue comes 30 days before the end of our fiscal year. It's always paid back by June 30th. The board extended its transportation contract with First Student for an additional year, through June 30th, 2021. The current agreement expires June 30th. The original contract was entered into July 1st, 2015. Board member Alan Calixy expressed significant concern about the agreement addressing problems the district has seen, but he said steps the company is taking to improve communication and driver recruitment does give me faith that there's an opportunity. The contract includes penalties for missed routes, not showing up for an extracurricular charter route, and failure to provide a properly licensed approved driver. Beginning next school year, the starting pay for drivers will increase to $19 an hour. First Student also is adding driver tablets that will provide audible turn-by-turn route directions to drivers. The Kingsley project was awarded to low bidder A&R Mechanical Contractors of Urbana. The project, which also includes new lighting and ceilings in the main corridor, 2 classrooms and 9 administrative rooms, is expected to cost just over $2.7 million. A&R Mechanical Contractors recently completed an energy efficiency project at Kingsley, so the company is familiar with the building, according to materials provided to the board. The project will result in annual energy cost savings of $170,707, Joe Adelman, Unit 5 Director of Operations, told the board. At the start of the meeting, Superintendent Mark Daniel outlined the process leading to the switch from a late start Wednesday to closing schools because of the weather. All parking lots were clear by about 5 a.m., and the district began notification of a delayed start to the day. Within minutes of launching the late start, the winds picked up, heavy snow moved in, and plows could not keep up, particularly in rural areas, said Daniel. In the interest of safety, Daniel said the decision was made to cancel classes. Crystal Awards Gala honors top women in communications. 3 women from Illinois State University have been honored for their roles in communications. The Crystal Awards, given by the Association for Women in Communications, were announced Thursday night during the annual gala for the Bloomington Normal Chapter. The awards honor women whose professional personal efforts embody the ideal of communication. Rachel Hatch was named Outstanding Woman in Communication. The Assistant Director for Media Relations at Illinois State University edits 2 campus-wide newsletters, curates the Illinois State News Hub, is part of the incident management team on campus, and is a member of the university's Climate Task Force implementation team and the Strategic Plan Coordinating and Marketing teams. She is also a member of the YWCA Board of Directors. Nominees included Liz German of the YWCA, McLean County, and Diane Wolfe of Bloomington School District 87. Angel Howard was named Communication Innovator, honoring excellent instance in communicating a project, mission, or event. The ISU Coordinator of Professional Development and Staff Training for the Vice President of Student Affairs, she is co-chair of the Communication Task Force, the Student Affairs Chair for the Inclusion Change Team, Programming Chair for the Association of the Black Academic Employees. Nominees included Leah Johnson of ISU Athletics, Jessica McLean Shaw of the Baby Fold, and Sue Sebring of Advocate Broman Medical Center. Stephanie DeQuain, ISU's Director for Alumni Engagement, won the Crystal Award for Chapter Member of the Year. DeQuain manages large-scale events such as homecoming and alumni reunions. She is currently president of AWC. Also nominated was Crystal Milichowski from BOPI. The chapter awarded a $500 scholarship to Breanne Evans, an ISU junior graphic design major. Bloomington man died in I-74 crash. A Bloomington man involved in a fatal accident Wednesday near Morton has been identified. Tazewell County Coroner Charles Hanley said that Nicasio Gomez Mencinas, 34, died of multiple blunt force injuries. He was among 3 men in a van that lost control on Interstate I-74 during Wednesday morning snowstorm, crossing the median and hitting a semi-truck trailer head-on. The snow, totaling 2 to 3 inches in most places, led to numerous crashes and school closings, including McLean County Unit 5. 2 passengers in the van, Estroberto Gomez Garcia, 22 of Bloomington, and Cesar Andres Remolina Alvarez, 33 of Columbia, were injured. Also injured was the truck driver, Gabane Abdi, 36 of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. All 3 men were taken by ambulance to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, according to an Illinois State Police report. Police said the van was westbound at milepost 106 near Morton about 8 a.m. when the driver lost control because of icy conditions and drove into oncoming eastbound traffic, striking the truck. The eastbound lanes were closed for several hours to allow for removal of the vehicle and investigation of the crash, police said. Black Illinoisans honored at Capitol. State Treasurer presents awards in ranges of fields. As February winds down, state officials do not want Illinoisans to forget about Black History Month. Treasurer Michael Frerichs presented 7 high-achieving Black Illinoisans with awards Thursday at the state capitol as recipients and other speakers celebrated Black history and urged the fight for equality to continue. Among the recipients was Nikita Richards, a Bloomington resident who serves on the Illinois Council on Women and Girls. "This is a critical turning point in our state's and country's history," said keynote speaker Jamel Wright, president of Eureka College outside Peoria. "We have a responsibility to make our voices count and our voices heard." Wright, who became the college's first Black and female president in 2017, reflected on the importance of voting rights more than half a century after the Civil Rights Movement. "While there was deeply rooted racism and resistance in the South," Wright said, "Illinois history is one of leading from the front in terms of voting rights, coalition building, and electing African Americans to office." She said this election year is a chance for Black voters to reclaim the ballot, paying homage to famed civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr.'s Give Us the Ballot speech from 1957. "Reclaim the ballot because we understand that our fight isn't only a Black fight, it's not only a woman's fight, this is a justice fight," she said. "A fight for the value of civil discourse, respect for humanity, and empowerment of the innovative spirit." A wide range of people received awards, from political and labor leaders to a local business owner and a professional athlete. Among the most well-known recipients was professional football player Malik Turner. Also receiving awards were State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth, a Democrat from Peoria, a Decatur School Board member, the Reverend Courtney Carson, Bonnie Hester, who represents AFSCME union retirees on the West Central Illinois Labor Council Board, Maurice Bridges, a U.S. Air Force veteran who works with fellow veterans at the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and Andrew Sforza, a barbershop owner in Springfield. And now some things going on in the area. So this is a kind of a calendar for the weekend. Friday, free admission to the Miller Park Zoo from 9:30 to 4:30 p.m. today at the Miller Park Zoo in Bloomington, which is Friday. On Saturday, there's a country breakfast at the Ebenezer United Methodist Church in McLean from 7 to 11 a.m. Bloomington Kiwanis Pancake Days, 7:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at the Blooming Center for the Performing Arts. Also, the Scholastic Book Fair, which benefits Camp Limberlost scholarships and children's projects. Time, quote-unquote, to read Storytime and Leap Day Party, 10 a.m. Saturday, Bloomington Public Library Children's Department, for preschool through elementary. Craft Supply Swap, 10 a.m. to noon Saturday at the Bloomington Public Library Community Room. Bring up to 10 items in good, usable condition. Trade for supplies you need. Leftover supplies will be donated to Threshold to Hope. Life CIL Fundraiser, this is also on Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., That Burger Joint, Bloomington. 20% of the proceeds benefit the Life Center for Independent Living. Mention Life CIL when ordering. And Life CIL at the Life Center for Independent Living also has the Low Vision Department, which we provide services for. Chili Supper and Auction, 4 to 6 p.m. Saturday at Interstate Center in Bloomington. Host is the West Twin Grove Christian Church. Music provided by the Illinois Rail. Catfish or Chicken Dinner, 5 p.m. Saturday at Waynesville American Legion. Carry out, additional 50 cents. Call 4 to 5 p.m. for carry out orders. 949-3301. I think we'll stop there and then we'll pick up some more interesting news in the second half. This is Kathy wishing you stay tuned.